Welcome to the Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman. My guest this week is RFERL correspondent Merhat Sharipjan. Welcome, Merhat.
Hi, nice to be here.
Great to have you. Well, this is our last podcast for 2018. It's New Year's Eve, and we're going to broaden it out a little bit and take a look forward into 2019, not just this coming week. One thing that's going to be very interesting to watch is the relationship between Russia and Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin has met his Belarusian counterpart, Alexander Lukashenko, three times this month, and including twice in the past week. Putin's been ratcheting up the pressure on Lukashenko to step up integration of the two countries under the auspices of the union state they created over a decade ago. But it still exists largely on paper. Now, integration is a word that often has a positive connotation. But for Belarus, closer integration with Russia could mean a loss of sovereignty for the far smaller country. And that's what Lukashenko and many others have suggested is Moscow's true aim here, kind of to get stronger sway over Belarus and, if possible, complete control. This has been kind of a dance that's been going on since the 1990s, but it's definitely heating up now. The main lever of pressure this time is something that Russia's calling the tax maneuver, a change in Russia's oil tax system that Lukashenko says could cost Belarus more than $10 billion in the next 5 years. That's about 4% of GDP per year. Now, this poses a threat because the Belarusian economy has long relied heavily on effectively subsidized Russian energy, lower prices than others pay. So Lukashenko's looking for compensation or relief, but the talks, these repeated talks, have not produced any agreement, at least publicly. Merhat, what do you think? Is Belarus in danger of getting swallowed up by Russia this time?
I think the danger is there. It's always has been, but now for Russia it's very important. Anyone who grew up in the Soviet Union and who studied in Soviet schools remember the history books about the history of the USSR. The history was only mainly about the union of Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine. Also, we have to remember that the collapse of the country, of the Soviet Union, was also initiated by the presence of these three major leaders of these three major republics within the Soviet Union. So for Putin today, it's very important to, after what happened in the Ukraine, when very likely the plans were not only the some parts of Luhansk and the Donetsk regions, the plans probably, Moscow's plans was to get more territories under control and probably to get more support from local Ukrainians or Ukrainian citizens to the idea that Russia is back. And to have Belarus back under its control would give many opportunities for Moscow, first of all, to persuade many within the former Soviet Union, other people in other republics of the former Soviet Union, that the union is coming back. The collapse of the Soviet Union was initiated by the three republics. And maybe many those in Ukraine who are opposing and have been opposing the Russian plans to get more parts of Ukraine will start thinking differently to get so-called hearts and minds of Ukrainians by getting Belarus under its control. So this is very important in terms of if we want to answer the question why it's happening now.
Right.
So I think the danger is there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Those are good points. Another thing that's playing into this, I think, and a lot of people are talking about is now Putin's in his last term. He needs to resolve, or if he wants to stay in power or retain power, he needs to resolve what he's going to do after 2024 or even before when his current term ends. So, you know, people are saying, well, this is one, and they've been saying for a while, this is one of the ways he could deal with that is to like step up integration of the union state and become sort of, you know, the head of it or use it in some way to to kind of prolong his power. And as you say, of course, it would play into it would sort of play into what I think is the image he's trying to create of someone who's gathering the Russian lands. I mean, to me, it seems, and this has been going on for a long time. I remember in 2002, when Lukashenko, there were rumors that Lukashenko wanted, you know, after the Yeltsin era, that Lukashenko wanted to kind of to prolong his power by and gain basically control over Russia by becoming the head of this union state. And Putin, who was in power for less than 2 years at the time, sort of called his bluff and said, well, okay, you know, there could be a union, but your Belarus is basically going to be a province of Russia, was the effect of what he said, in effect. So, you know, and but since then, Belarus has always held off, you know, basically resisted Russian pressure. And now this effort to integrate is building up again. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Lukashenko has managed to resist in the past. And, you know, I think the West is going to be interested in what's happening. So we'll see what happens this year. Now, another thing, you mentioned Ukraine, of course, a very big, because if Russia gains any kind of control over Belarus or more, that's a concern for Ukraine. I mean, one thing with Ukraine and one thing that's happening that is happening this week, but also has longer term consequences, is essentially what I guess is one of the steps in Russia's kind of losing influence in Ukraine, which is that the new Ukrainian or Orthodox Church of Ukraine is supposed to get the Tomos of Autocephaly from the Constantinople Patriarchate. That's supposed to happen on January 6th, which is Orthodox Christmas Eve. This is the document, the Tomos, that's essentially formal recognition of a Ukrainian church independent from the Russian Orthodox Church and with the approval of Constantinople Patriarch Bartholomew, who's considered the first among equals in Orthodox Christianity. So, I mean, Russia has obviously been, the Russian Orthodox Church and the Kremlin have been opposing this quite vociferously. Russian leaders can't be happy about this apparently happening on Christmas Eve. Merhat, what do you think? I mean, do you expect any reaction in terms of words or even actions from the Russian Orthodox Church or the Kremlin?
Of course, there will be reactions. The process of getting autonomy was accompanied by many statements by both by the Kremlin and by the Orthodox Church in Moscow. We even heard how Vladimir Putin said in a very interesting way, he described now that Ukraine is not under Moscow Patriarchate, but under the Istanbul, or he also said Turkish Patriarchate, just completely turning over the whole idea of Constantinople's Patriarchate, which is located in Istanbul, but has nothing to do with Turkey or with Istanbul or with the Turkish authorities.
Right.
So this is one of the ways to, again, to persuade Russians, and not only Russians, but also people in Ukraine, that you're going to a very wrong direction under the... well, he didn't say that, but he hinted at the point that you're going to be under control of the Islamic Turkey or something right. like that. So there will be statements. They will range from probably ridiculous statements like Putin had in his annual marathon interview. And they will go to other statements by Orthodox Church in Moscow. Also, I'm thinking that some Orthodox churches which are under the auspices of Moscow's Patriarchate in former Soviet republics will also be asked to do some comments and, of course, call their parishioners not to go to the churches under the Constantinople Patriarchate and Ukrainian new Ukrainian church.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, one other thing to watch in Ukraine will be, I mean, there's a lot of talk about possible violence, you know, most of this talk coming from Russia and Russian authorities saying there's going to be violence, you know, you're trying to force people to switch churches. There has been very little of that, if any. And, you know, I don't think it's in Ukraine's interest, certainly, to have it happen. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on in terms of whether either of the side, whether this kind of thing happens or and whether it's encouraged or how that plays out. I think over this New Year's it's probably going to be pretty calm, but we'll see what happens in the future. Now, another thing, we don't have much time, but just like to take a bit of a look at the coming year in terms of Russia more generally. Putin's still in the first year of his new term, 6-year term, but there have been signs that could be disturbing to him. His poll numbers have been down, in part due to the unpopular move to raise the retirement age, and real incomes are down, and economic growth is quite slow. Merhad, do you think this year will bring many changes in Russia in terms of politics or protests, or is it pretty much going to be more of the same?
The protests might increase because the economic situation is getting worse, and it's all mainly connected to the sanctions. And now it's up to Putin and the Kremlin. If they want the sanctions to at least soften, they have to do something, which probably will contradict their plans regarding Ukraine and Belarus and other former Soviet republics. So in this term, I think there will be not so many changes, but the protests will continue. Probably there will be more protests because we know that protests in Russia were mainly taking place in this 2018, not because of political situation, but mainly because of the economic situation in the country. And it looks like the economic situation is going to get worse.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are saying that. Very good point about sort of one thing to watch is will Russia do something significant to try to ease the sanctions? I mean, on the surface, of course, he's Russia's saying we don't need them to be eased. But I think, looking at eastern Ukraine, will Russia do anything that might get the West to start easing sanctions? As you say, I think it goes against kind of their goals, but maybe they'll have to balance those out. So it's definitely something to watch. If not to necessarily expect anything big on that front. So it's great points, Merhad. Thank you very much. It's been great to have you on the show.
It was very interesting, and I'm very happy to be here.
All right. Well, that's it for today. I'll be taking a break next week, but we'll be back on January 14th, actually right on the old New Year. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward. Thank you, and с наступающим Новым годом.